Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
I'd like to introduce Gavin Neat. He has been on VI Talk previously, but it's been a while. So, hi, Gavin.
Hello, Joe. It's really nice to be back on VI Talk again. Although, of course, I'm on the Facebook site, so I talk to a lot of the listeners, your listeners on there as well. So, I feel like I'm not coming back, but so we're just having another chance to chat.
We're just catching up on all your progress, and there's been lots of it.
We've had a lot of fun, if you can call the roller coaster ride that is entrepreneurship fun. We've had a lot of fun over the last year and a half. And certainly since the last time I spoke to you, there's been so much going on. And what can I say? If you're going to live your life doing something and you're not necessarily going to make a lot of money doing it, then make sure you're having fun doing it. And I've certainly had a lot of fun.
Well, that's the main thing. So shall we start with the customer service app? Because I think that is one that you've talked about on the group a little bit. And I think that's fascinating. So do you want to tell us all about that and how it came into being?
Oh yeah, it's a real biggie for me, and I'll talk about the products that we do a little bit later. Although I'm reluctant to call them products because it makes me sound like a salesman, but every single one of them, I have had a basis in understanding a problem from the point of view of the people that have the problem, rather than me trying to sell things to people. But the customer services one was something that I had seen and consistently see. And anybody out there with a visual impairment, this will strike a chord with them when I start describing it. But it seems to be to me that every couple of months, there's another story in the press about a guide dog owner not being allowed into a shop. And it just seems, or a taxi, or a bus, or a restaurant, it just seems to happen repeatedly. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized it was happening to wheelchair users and to people with Parkinson's and to people with autism, or it was just happening constantly, that when somebody was trying to use a service that many other people take for granted, they were finding they were coming up not just against bad service, but even being refused to use a service.
Yeah.
And this is something that just seems to be happening over and over and over again. And it was all the way through the time that I worked for Guide Dogs for the Blind, which was 18 years, 96 onwards. I was seeing people being refused entry. And of course, it would hit the press. And then there was this massive boo-ha-ha about, I can't believe that such and such a restaurant or such and such a supermarket would have a anti-disabled person policy. And of course, they don't. Of course they don't. I mean, it'd be absolutely insane to do something like that. But there was something more going on, and I endeavoured to have a little look at what that was and then tried to come up with a solution.
So do you want to tell us what that solution is?
Yes. A lot of your listeners will be app users. There'll be people who use mobile phones, and they'll understand how awesome VoiceOver is, or even with Samsung, how TalkBack is really sort of catching up all the time. So what we did was we created an application that worked with a hardware device using Bluetooth Low Energy, or beacon technology. People might have heard of iBeacons, I'm sure, but Bluetooth Low Energy is really the technology behind that. So what we did was we interacted from the mobile phone to the Bluetooth Low Energy beacon to another iPad or mobile phone. And it meant that when somebody walked into a shop, people in the shop got information about that person, to the level that the person who was walking into the shop wanted them to have. So the way it would work would be that the person would download our free application at home, and it's a customer services application. They would put in some very simple details like name and postcode and a photograph and maybe date of birth. And they have the option of putting in any or none or all of those items. So it just could be a photograph. And then they can put in what specific disability they feel they might like assistance with, or they might like the customer services team to be aware of. So they'll put that in. So let's just say it was visual impairment. The person might put in visual impairment, and then they would finish off the inputting of the information, and they would have one last bit, which was on that specific day. So how do you feel on that day? What is it that you would like to get? And we'll just say they're walking into Tesco's, say, for instance. They're walking into Tesco's. What is it you would like on that particular day that is relevant to you walking in? So you might put in something along the lines of, last time I was in, the person who came to help me just couldn't take their hands off my guide dog, and it would be really great if they just did their very best to do not touch my guide dog, do not distract my guide dog. So it's something that the customer services team could get at the moment that you walk through the door. So you have the application, you put the information in, and then you just leave the house and walk into any shop that's actually using our particular hardware. We've installed our hardware in advance. The person walks through the door. As they walk through the door, the beacon and the mobile phone communicate to each other to say, we know where you are. And a message gets sent automatically to the customer services team to say, this person has just walked through the door. Now, it might be that you don't need any help at all. It's just that you would like them to know that you're there. But if you did want help and you specifically wanted to give them a little bit of an option as to how they could help you, you would just put that information in there. So as you walk through the door, the customer services team gets some information to say you've arrived, and the information would pop up with, please do not talk to my guide dog today. But there would be a little information button which they could press extra, which would be, how do you speak to somebody, or how do you interact with somebody with a visual impairment in a general sense? And that could be, always make sure you introduce yourself. Don't just take the person's arm, ask which arm they would like to be guided by. Always walk in front of the person rather than behind, pushing them along behind. Always walk at the pace of the person who's actually with you. Do not try and drag them through. Talk to the person before you start moving so that they know exactly what's going to be happening, and interact in general. So maybe 5 bullet points as to how to interact with anybody with a visual impairment. But the reason we do that is because the next time somebody walks in with a visual impairment, we want the staff member to actually already have an aid memoir that they have been able to reference. So the next person walks in and they're already doing some of the things that they should be doing to every single visually impaired person. Now, the beauty of this is it works with somebody in a wheelchair, somebody with a hearing impairment, somebody with epilepsy, somebody with diabetes, any person that has a specific interest in the customer services team offering them better service will be able to benefit from this app. And as I say, it's totally free. We're certainly planning for it to be totally free when it sort of like hits the market, so to speak.
So you are in the process of trying to get funding for this, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we've actually got the product up and running now, which is fantastic, but it's not finished. I mean, we need to actually just continue to sort of improve as you do with these things. But we certainly have a product that works. But what we did was a couple of years ago, we entered Pitch to Rich, which is Richard Branson's competition. Well, we entered Pitch to Rich again, it's a public vote. And we're now live on their site. And I think they've got about 300 different people who are looking for funding. And I believe that the final, if you get into the top 5, it's £1 million split between 5 different companies. So obviously, if we were to get into there, we're going to have a considerable amount of money in order to invest into actually making this a real going concern. So the idea is that what we'd love people to do is go on and vote and just get us further up the list. We're currently in 57th position. We'd love to be in the top 20. That would be absolutely fantastic. Mm. But the only way we're going to get there is if people out there who really need this application get on board and start saying, look, we can get this and we can help Gavin get there.
So how do people do that? How can they vote for you?
The website, we'll put things up on VI Talk anyway. In fact, I just put it up just before I came online tonight. Mm-hmm. But the website itself is Victor, Mike, Bravo, Victor, Oscar, Oscar, Mike.com. That's VMBVOOM.com. And that takes you through to the general site. You can then search for Neatbox, NEATEBOX, and then just put a vote against our name. There is the opportunity to pledge if people wanted to pledge money. We're actually working with Guide Dogs to the Blind, and they've given us some awesome prizes. So if people wanted to pledge £10 or £15 or whatever it might be, then they could also do that, and they would be in there for some pretty cool prizes. But that's not the main reason that I want to talk to you tonight. All I need really from your listeners and readership is votes. That would be absolutely ideal. Pledges can come later, and votes would be fantastic for us.
Okay, so at the end of this interview, when it's been edited and it's up on the Audio Boom channel and Twitter, I will put the details for that website in description.
Superb.
So there's a lot more going on with Neatbox, isn't there? Because you have, and I think this is a really good idea, the Pelican Crossing app.
Yeah, I have to do something between the hours of 1 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise, I'll just, what am I going to do? Sleep. So, yes. yeah, it is worth pointing out that I did all this on my own for the last 5 years. But I've just been, I got some funding just before Christmas from friends and family, and Scottish Investment Bank matched it, which meant that I was able to take on a couple of members of staff. So I've managed to, I thought I was going to half my workload, but I've actually doubled it because I've got more work. But yes. The whole idea when I was with guide dogs was I saw people weren't able to cross at pedestrian crossings as easily as they should. In fact, the old flailing around with the right arm, looking for a pole and then potentially hitting your wrist and trying to press a button and then maybe holding onto a tactile cone that's maybe 16 foot away from where you should be to cross the road. Well, these are all things that I saw as a problem. So all we did was we put the button onto a mobile phone, and actually latterly we've now got it onto the Apple Watch. Although we know people aren't all using that yet, but there's a lot of people out there that potentially could. Anyway, put it onto the mobile phone. All you have to do now is walk up onto the tactile paving, knowing that your phone will press the button for you. You don't even have to have the phone out of your pocket. It's just being in close proximity to the pedestrian crossing. Now, we have had some really fantastic traction with this. In fact, we now have one crossing installed at Royal Bank of Scotland headquarters at Gogaburn in Edinburgh, which is 3,500 member staff offices. So there's going to be, when we go live on that, it's going to get quite a lot of publicity. We've also got one in the city centre of Edinburgh at Lauriston Place, which is at the Eye Pavilion, because we really wanted to test it with people who are going to and from the Eye Pavilion. And the last one we've got is a crossing down on Holyrood Road, which is at the back of the Scottish Parliament. So we've got four, five, six crossings in total, all in Edinburgh, all that I can communicate with my watch and my mobile phone. And we really will be pushing this year for certification before the end of the year, and then hopefully rolling out across the country. I mean, that's, my fingers are crossed on that. This takes a long time to get these things to happen. But yeah, and it works. We can go up to a pedestrian crossing and press the button with our smartwatch. Or
yay. No more hugging a post. Because you do often wonder why people, you know, even though, I mean, my guide dog is trained to find posts, which he does probably 8 times out of 10 pretty perfectly, but you know, there's the odd time where you're there and you're thinking, oh no, you know.
Well, it's surrounded by people already, and you just don't know if somebody's pressed a button, or you just smack somebody else in the face as you turn to the right. I've watched my clients do it so many times when I was training them with guide dogs, and I was like, oh dear, sorry.
But it's not a good look.
It's not a good look. It can be a real pain as well. I mean, I don't want to trivialize it, because it takes away people's independence if they have to ask somebody else to press a button for them. And it's definitely worth mentioning, this is wheelchair users, mobility scooter users, elderly people, people carrying things, women or gents with prams, with children in. The ability to press the button without having to go over to the button just seems so obvious now. Rather than it being a physical button press. Now, if we add to that very quickly, if we add to that the ability to press the button at an escalator, sorry, not an escalator, an elevator. So you're approaching the elevator and the button gets pressed for you. Now, if we then add into that a hospital door, you're approaching the hospital door, you don't have to find the big blue metal button that's at the side of the wall. The door knows that you have a requirement for it to open. So as you approach the hospital, the door opens. Now, if we take that back to the customer services app, if the door knows you've opened it with your mobile phone, then the people that you're going to see in the hospital could get advance warning that you've arrived at the hospital.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, it starts snowballing when you think about the possibilities of this kind of tech.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
Yeah, that's exciting. Well, fingers crossed for it spreading around the country.
I was
thinking about just in my little town, and it is a small town, that there are a lot of pelican crossings, you know. I think there are about six, maybe, or six, you know, that and that's just in a small town, and it would make such a big difference.
Well, the way I described it to somebody the other day is what we've got is, if you think of a river or a road as a river, without having a bridge you can't get across a river.
Yeah.
And if the bridge feels unsafe, you're not going to cross over the bridge. Mm. So you won't cross over the river. And that's what happens with roads.
Yeah.
We get really anxious about crossing a road because we don't know if the cars are going to stop, they're going too fast. Are they going to go through the red light? Or am I too far away from the tactile cone? Does it have an audible signal? How good is the tactile paving? Is the road at an angle? Mm. Is it quite a wide road? Have I got enough time to cross? It's just, it's fraught with dangers for people who are elderly or in wheelchairs or pushing somebody in a wheelchair or somebody with a visual impairment or a long cane. I mean, it's endless amounts of people.
So how much is talking about, we don't like to talk about cost, I know, but how much is it just to activate sort of one crossing?
Luckily, unless your listeners are working in the traffic industry, it's not going to cost them anything. So my whole intention when I started this, when I left Guide Dogs to the Blind, was I did not want anybody to be paying for things which they should be getting as a matter of course, just like anybody else can use. So the idea is that it's paid for by the local authority. However, if we're going to look at how this could be really useful to the local authority, they're going to know how many times in a day that that pedestrian crossing was pushed by somebody who had a disability. Mm. Wouldn't necessarily need to know who it was, but it would be incredibly useful in a city to know if one crossing in particular was used by more people with a visual impairment than another crossing.
Yeah.
That way, if it went unserviceable for whatever reason, you'd fix it first. Yeah. You'd go, wait a second, that's the crossing that needs to be fixed. We need to get out there really quickly because that one's used by the majority of people who really have a need to be safe more than anybody else. Yeah. So there's a serious amount of data they can collect on the use of the crossing without it being personal. We don't want IP addresses and all this kind of stuff. We just want to be able to help the council provide a better service. Now, if that's the case, it becomes quite useful for the council, because then they start thinking, well, how much is it going to cost? And I say to them, look, we're looking at it being maybe £200 or £300 per crossing. And if you look at a crossing, the crossing's probably around about £35,000 to put in. So you're adding that kind of money to the cost of the crossing, and it's a drop in the ocean for what they would get back.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So
it's good fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Some really good ideas.
Yeah. It makes me smile every day when I realize that I can walk up to a crossing and press it with my watch. I'm just like, we did that. Yeah. We did that. It's taken us a long time to get there, and we've done it on our own, but we've done it.
Yeah, because the first time we spoke, which is probably, gosh, it must be over a year ago, I think.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah, it was all in the early stages, wasn't it? And just the planning and sort of trying to get it started. So that's really good to have got that far, you know.
No, we're getting there, Joe. And as I say, I'm a keen member of your Facebook site, and I love what you guys do. And it's a super thing for me. Of course, I have to be involved with as many different impairments as I possibly can, or impairment groups, because I've got to try and get this to everybody. This isn't just for visually impaired people. This is inclusive, as society should be. It should include everybody.
Oh, absolutely. So what else is going on with Neatbox?
Sorry, do you notice that was a slightly insane laugh that I kind of put out there?
Yeah, it was slightly, but you know.
Yes. Okay, right. So, we realized we could use the same tech in tourism, and we installed it, and we're now live on the Royal Mile in Edinburgh, and you can walk up and down the Royal Mile in Edinburgh, and you can get an audio guide based on where you're standing. So it's a pretty cool bit of kit. And I don't know if you'll be able to do this, but what I'll do is I'll just play from my phone, because I've collected all the stories, because obviously they're my stories. But this is one of the stories on the Royal Mile, and it's in, let me see, which one should we play? So I'll just play a little bit of it. But this is Bakehouse Close, which is down in Canongate, which is about halfway down. And the lady who reads the story is a lady called Fiona Herbert. And this would just, you get a ping and a vibration, and then you would get this particular story. And I'll play a little bit now.
Okay. Population peaks. As the wealthy residents of the Canongate were attracted away from the area and towards the grandeur of the new town, the Canongate was gradually taken over by industrial premises, including breweries, tobacco pipe manufacturers, glassmakers, and a large gasworks.
So that's a 3-minute story.
And that's fab. That's just great.
Yeah, and it's totally inclusive, because the idea here isn't that we make something for blind people.
No, not at all.
Which is what's happened. We make something for everybody, because everybody loves a good story.
Yeah.
And we've got text on there, and we've got pictures, and we've also got the audio. So on a real basic level, we can reach as many people as possible, and that's what it's all about. It's about making inclusive solutions.
Yeah, that's fab. I mean, for anybody traveling, you know, to Great Britain and, you know, to Edinburgh, going for a lot on holiday or whatever, or, you know, part of a tour of the UK. It's just going to be so good for them, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And guess how much it costs?
Go on.
It's free. It's a free download. So, yes, you don't have to pay a penny for it. And you've got an audio guide on your mobile phone.
Oh, that's just fab, isn't it? That's just wonderful. You know, imagine how useful that would be in other cities and towns and things.
Castles, cities, towns, museums, art galleries. I was in an art gallery, a national portrait gallery the other day, and the guy I picked up a book that was large print, and I said to the lady who was in there, the curator, I said, "Oh, do you have this in Braille by any chance?" And she said, "Oh, we don't, but we do actually have visitor nights where people could come round and we can explain things." And I was like, "Oh, have a look at this," and she went, "Wow, that's brilliant!" And then, so the opportunities are endless when it comes to being able to put this kind of kit in there. Yeah. And of course, it doesn't cost them the hardware. They don't have to get an audio guide and pay £450 for every audio guide and buy 40 of them or something like that. Mm. And we can do it in any language. So, you can see why I'm excited.
Honestly, your enthusiasm's infectious. It really is.
Thank you so much. I love it. I truly.
You can tell.
Yeah, to leave guide dogs, I had to find something that was going to be awesome. And this is, I love it. It's a great thing to be involved in.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see that get rolled out farther afield. That'd just be ace. Just be brilliant. So is there anything else we need to talk about tonight?
I need a holiday. No, I don't actually. I love doing what I'm doing. I think that pretty much covers it, Joe. I would say that It is, and I reiterate, it's about having inclusion. Yeah. And I see it all the time. I want to be inclusive. And I want people who are sighted to realize, and able-bodied in other ways, to realize that technology has got to a certain point where unless they start taking into consideration the advantages that people with disability have got, they're going to get left behind. And I explained that to somebody the other day. I put on my voiceover, I put my Bluetooth headset in, I put the screen curtain on, and I started walking and I was talking to them about when I would put things into my diary and things like that. And I wasn't having to look at the screen. And they were like, "Oh, wow." And I said, "Yeah, well, why wouldn't a sighted person want to be able to do that?" Mm-hmm. But they don't have the skills that a visually impaired person does using this kit. No. So it puts the visually impaired person ahead of the sighted person. And that's pretty much the future, as far as I can see from this kind of tech. It certainly happens with disabilities like people taking part in the Paralympics where they wouldn't have done before. Well, I mean, the opportunities were endless to improve people's lives with technology.
Yeah, fantastic. Brilliant. Well, keep us updated. Keep us posted. I'm sure you will on the group and everything. But I just think it's amazing. It's brilliant.
Thank you, Joe.
So do you want to give us the website once more just for the voting?
Yeah, sure. So I suppose it's probably worth just mentioning again the website. The company is Neatbox, NEATEBOX, and it's neatbox.com. And of course, you can go onto the website and have a look at the three different products that I've spoken about tonight. But if you do want to, in fact, please go on and vote because we would love to be in the top 20 and I could then stand in front of Richard Branson and tell him all about this. But the website is VMBVOOM, which is VMBVOOM.com. And if you go on there and you do a search for Neatbox, NEATEBOX, and then just hit the vote button, or indeed hit the pledge button, and you potentially could win one of these amazing prizes that we've got, which we'll be releasing this week. I can't say anything about them yet.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, go on, I'll tell you. Shall I tell you? I'll tell you, because I like VI talk. But we've actually, Guide Dogs have given us the prizes, or some of the prizes, and one of them is the opportunity to win what I've called the puppy swarm. Which is an all expenses trip paid to the breeding centre where you get to lie on the floor and they release 20 puppies. Now, that might be hell for some people, but I can imagine there'll be some of your listeners who would go, "Oh, that's heaven."
Yeah, I'd love that. I would love that.
So. Me too. Yeah, me too. So yeah, no, but don't tell anyone, okay? We'll be launching that one sometime this week, but yeah. When yeah. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you ever so much for coming along and talking to us again, Gavin.
Pleasure.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.